It's great to see you here tonight. Grab your seat. I think there's a few chairs back right-hand side there. My name is Matt, and it's so great to see so many young people here tonight. Put your hand up if you brought someone along tonight for the first time. Fantastic. Not going to make you new people put your hand up, but it's so great to have you here tonight. Fantastic to have you here. Maybe you actually haven't been inside a church before. It's great to have you here tonight. I believe God's going to do some great things tonight. So as you saw behind me, we're kicking off a new series called Free People. And so we're going to be looking at that over the next 3 to 4 weeks. So when you think of a free person, what do you think of? For me, it's back in the day, is getting home from school, taking your school uniform off, chucking on your trackies, something more comfortable. It might be that for you, some of you have had braces before, and that feeling when you take your braces off and all you can do is lick your teeth. That slimy feeling, and you have the freedom of now being able to eat Nutri-Grain again. Only those that have had braces can understand that. It might even be around shopping. You hate shopping with your parents, and the opportunity that you get to go shopping at Marion with your friends, do whatever you want, buy whatever you want. It might even be around graduating from school. Some of you are heaps keen to finish school, be able to study, have a job, do whatever you want. No maths, no physics, no Pythagoras theorem. I've never used that, never will. Maybe I have, I don't know. Who knows? I think a big one for me, and probably for some of you, is getting your driver's license. That is a massive one. Like, your L's is cool, but like, you're still driving with your parents. It doesn't mean that much. But when you get your P's, you've got your freedom, you can drive off, you can go where you want, do what you want by yourself. And for me, that was definitely the case. But when I got my driver's license, I was one of the last people. I only had to have my driver's license for 6 months. So I had it about end of term one, year 11. And it didn't matter how many people I had in the car, and I could drive as late as I could. So good. So what do you do when you get your P's? You're free, you go to Macca's, you buy what you want. So that's what I did. I got the red van, so a big red van. My brother's driving it now. 7 seats that I could take apart from myself. So I took 7 of my friends late at night, and we went to Macca's. I piled up the car, and as I went to pick up my last friend, his house was facing this sort of this gorge, which went down into a bit of a creek. So it was the footpath, about a meter or two of dirt, and then down into this gorge with this water. And so, being a 16-year-old boy with all my friends in the car, girl in the back that I had a bit of a crush on, I thought, you know what, I'm going to show off. So us boys, we think that we can show off to girls and they'll respect that, they'll find that attractive. It's not, boys, it's not. So as I go, I'm like, you know what, big red van, if I take off really fast, it does this cool little skid thing, that'll really impress her, that'll impress my friends. So what I do is I slam on the accelerator and I take off. The only issue is I don't have it in drive. I've got it in reverse. And so that feeling of thinking you're going forwards, I start flying backwards and everyone in the car is screaming their heads off. I'm super embarrassed. We go flying backwards. Issue is backwards is towards the gorge. And so we go flying backwards over the curb as I hit the brake and pull on the handbrake. Safe to say, I was rather embarrassed. And with that, reflecting on it now, thinking about it, I understand why there are actually rules for P's and why you're not allowed to drive 7 friends late at night when you're 16 years old. I'm starting to realise that to avoid some of those consequences. So in this series, we're going to look at what does freedom look like as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. You and I, we desire freedom. And why is that? I believe that's because God has created us that way. He's created us to be free. But maybe for you right now, you're like, I am not free. Like, I've got parents, they're nagging me to clean my room, do this, do that. I'm at school, there's all these rules. They tell me when I'm to eat at recess and I'm meant to do work and then I'm meant to eat again. Like, I've got no freedom. And maybe for some of you, you don't feel free in your faith either. You're like, I just feel like I'm having to follow all of these things. I don't feel free. And for some of you here, you're like, you know what? I'm not a Christian. I'm not a follower of Jesus. And I don't want to be because I can just see all these rules, all these things that I need to follow. Why would I want that? You think you're like, go to church, read the Bible, don't drink, don't swear, don't do this, don't do that. You don't want a bar of that. And if God created us for freedom, why does it sometimes feel like we're not free? In this series, we're going to look at a book in the Bible. It's called Galatians. And it was written by a guy called Paul. Any Pauls in the house? I know we got one. Oh, two? Yeah, two Pauls. Fantastic. And this guy, Paul, he was a stickler for the rules. He loved rules. And he was actually putting people to death because of the rules, what he thought people were breaking these rules. But he then has this encounter with God, and his life is literally flipped upside down. Well, maybe not literally, but it is flipped upside down. And he starts following God. And he ends up writing actually some of the Bible. And so as we go through this over the next 3 or 4 weeks, I really encourage you to read along, to read it. It's like the best book ever. It's 4 pages long. Like, how good is that? I hate books, but 4 pages, like, we can all read 4 pages. And I really encourage you throughout this series to small groups. That's what they're for, to bring your questions. Maybe you're reading something. Maybe something I'm saying is making zero sense. I really encourage you to bring those questions to your small groups, to your small group leaders. And so Paul, this guy that had his life completely changed by God, he wrote this book, or we'll call it a letter. It's 4 pages long. It's not much of a book. And he wrote it to these churches in the area called Galatia. And it was written to them because they weren't Jews. They had not grown up as Christians. And they were not taught. They were being told by some of these Jews that all about the law, telling them that they had to follow this law, these rules, these expectations, that they had to do this to follow God, to win his approval. And it was weighing really heavy on them, these rules, these customs. If you read along in Galatians, there's some weird stuff in there that I won't go into tonight. But I wonder, as we talk about this, it brings up something new. Like the Galatians, they were not feeling free at all. They were feeling the exact opposite. And I wonder if that's you here tonight, that you're not feeling free in your life. Maybe that's in your faith, or maybe that's in something else. But this is what Paul was telling them, and what he's telling us, is that that is not correct, what the Galatians, what the people from Galatia were being told. And he reminded them in that letter that what Jesus had done for them and what that actually means. So we're going to get on the screen a Bible verse from that letter, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. When you hear that for the first time, you're like, does that make grammatical sense? But it does. What have we actually been set free from? So we look back and in Jesus' day, that before him, people who followed God, they had to do all these different things to make up for the things that they had done wrong. These things that they'd done wrong, the mistakes that they made, it's called sin. It actually bridged a separation between them and God, and they were having to do things to redeem this, because there's no way they could be with a perfect God. So then Jesus came and died on a cross in our place, so that there's nothing that we have to do in a relationship with God, but just to believe and have faith in him. What he has done is enough. What Paul was trying to say to the Galatians, and what he's saying to you and I right now, is what Jesus did on that cross is actually enough. It's enough so that you will not feel guilt and shame in your life. He wants you to experience a life of freedom, a life and a life to the full. He doesn't want you to be a slave to what you've done or to anything or anyone else. Free is what God has made you to be. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, "Free is what God has made you to be." Fantastic. All right, if we think of Australia, we think of the world, we're pretty much free to do what we want, to say what we want. We have a fair bit of freedom. And God wants us to experience freedom in our lives, but he also doesn't want us to fall into the trap of freedom that is fake, that we perceive as freedom, but rather isn't. If we think about, like an analogy of a farmer. So if you think of a farmer, farm animals, what's there on a farm? There's fences. So the farmer will put up fences around his paddocks. These paddocks may be massive, but they garden with a fence. And what is that there for? It's there to keep the animals safe. Inside this fence, the farmer can protect these animals. He can give them food and water. They don't wander off too far. If they get hurt, they can actually get medicine. And as long as they remain inside this fence, in the boundary, they can run, they can enjoy life in this paddock without the having to worry about things that could harm them, being run over by a car, etc. And God gives us a kind of, God gives us a kind of fence in our lives, and it's actually His Word. I really encourage you to get stuck into the Bible. Maybe you've never read it before. And His commands, His promises, they're actually safe boundaries for us to enjoy life and life to the full without worry and fear. But like you and I, sometimes we're like the kangaroos at like Happy Valley Reservoir. Like there's a fence there, but for some reason, the kangaroos have got such a good life, they've got as much water, food as they want, they jump over the damn fence. Then they get hit by cars, etc. like that. And that's us. Sometimes we see this fence and we're like, nah, we want to jump over it. And we may think we know best in that, but there's actually consequences for that. We even saw it in The Lion King. Mufasa, he actually wanted the best for Simba. And that's why he told him not to go to the shadowy place, to never go there. Did he tell Simba that because he wanted to restrict Simba so he didn't get to enjoy life and life to the full? But no, because he was actually caring about Simba. He didn't want him to get hurt, to get attacked by hyenas. And we can actually feel in our lives that freedom is doing whatever we want when we want. And when we do this, sometimes there's consequences and it ends up not being free at all. It ends up being actually a lot worse than before. And God actually puts guidelines in the Bible for us to actually live a life to the full, to live a free life. And I want to tell you today, there's more to life than getting your way all the time. Just like look at like rich, spoiled celebrities. You see that, the way they've been able to get whatever they want and look how they turn out. I want to tell you today that freedom is not the right to do what we want. We can see freedom as that, as being able to make decisions, whatever we want. But God has actually created us with the ability to make decisions, to do what we want. But He's put things in the Bible to guide us in that. And why is that the case? Why are there things in the Bible that say, do this, don't do this? And I think back to a time when I was about 6 years old. I went to the Royal Adelaide Show. Who likes the Royal Adelaide Show? So one of my favourite activities is definitely the show bags. Like I spend hours planning that out, what I'm going to get. And then it's probably the pig races. And another thing I love is the wood chopping. Like anyone else like the wood chopping? Wood chopping's fun. And so I love seeing them hack away, see who can go first. So for myself, I went home one time after the Royal Adelaide Show, and I got out my dad's axe from the garage. I was about 6 years old, and I decided without my mum and dad that I would chop down the gum tree in the front of our house. So I got the axe out, just started chopping away, felt about like 5 hours in, it's probably about 5 minutes. I feel like I was about halfway through the tree. It was probably about that much. And when all I heard was, Matthew John Peters, I knew I was in trouble. Everyone knows, if your mum uses your middle name, you're in trouble. Mum comes racing out to me. She grabs the axe out of my hand, throws that away, throws me into my room to think about what I've done. I think about myself, I know what I've done. I'm trying to cut the tree down. But reflecting back on that, I think to myself, did I know best in that situation? Probably not. I was thinking to myself of cutting down this tree. I wasn't really thinking about, would it fall on me? Would it fall on the house? Will it fall on the car? I just thought it'd be really cool to be like the woodchoppers and chop something down. I want to tell you today that part of a relationship with God is actually working out for yourself, do I know best or does God know best? I believe that God created the world. If you believe that as well, if He created the world, I reckon He might know a little bit more than you and I. It says in the Bible in Isaiah that His ways are higher than ours, meaning that sometimes things will happen in our lives, God will be working in situations, and we might not actually understand what's going on. And that can feel like a burden in our lives. It can feel really tough. But it's also, we can actually take joy in that and have freedom in that, knowing that we don't have to work that out ourselves. Maybe there's a situation you're facing right now and you're like, I do not know how I'm going to get through this. This is so hard. I cannot see a way out. But what is fantastic with Christ is that we don't have to work that out ourselves. We have a God that loves us and cares for us, that never leaves us, that actually has plans to prosper and not to harm us. That is a God that actually can get us through when we can't get through ourselves. But with that, sometimes we have our best intentions. We want to follow God. We want to do our best. But you and I, we fail. We stuff up. We mess up. We mess up following the rules, what God has told us in the Bible. But do you know what's so awesome about being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is you do not have to be perfect. That is such a lie that you have to be perfect. And maybe in your life, you've had a breakthrough. You've had an experience where, you know what, I'm on fire for God in my faith. I'm listening to Hillsong full blast, like I'm loving life. But then you get a couple weeks later on and life gets a little bit hard. Maybe you tell a little lie, you do this, maybe you say something you shouldn't, you take something maybe, you look at something maybe you shouldn't. You go, do you know what? I'm not good enough. I can't do this. And you just throw away that experience. You discount it. Maybe you count yourself out. But being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus is not about trying to be perfect. It's actually admitting that we are not perfect, that we actually need God and surrender that to Him. God is not asking you to be perfect. If we read in Romans 8:1-2, just a little bit longer, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation. We do not have to feel bad for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. What does this mean? If we look back at the Lion King, Simba, he was crippled by fear and shame and guilt through what he thought he had done. His past defined him, and he actually had to run away, and he felt like he could never face his family again because they would not forgive him. He felt stuck, like he couldn't move on. And that is the last thing that Jesus wants for us. We don't have to stay in shame and guilt for messing up. We are actually forgiven from what Jesus did on the cross. And I don't get to cover everything tonight with what freedom with Jesus offers. I'm really looking forward to hearing from Tani, from Ben later on. But I want you to know free is what God has made you to be. I love this verse in John 8:36, just to finish. It says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So what is freedom in Christ? What does Jesus offer? Jesus offers a freedom from comparison, feeling like you don't measure up, feeling like you are not good enough, what others think of you. Rather, God loves you. He says you're good enough. He says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have freedom from your past. Your past does not define you, things that you've done, but rather you are forgiven, and through Christ, your slate is wiped clean. You have freedom to succeed, freedom to fail, freedom to not be perfect, and know that God still loves you through that no matter what. You actually have freedom to explore life, to not be trapped by fear, knowing that you have a God that goes before you, that is with you every step of the way. And I think this is one of the greatest ones. You actually have a freedom from the fear of death, that death has no hold on you. Although in this life you may face pain, persecution, you may face suffering in your life, that those who choose to believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. We have freedom with Him. We have eternal life in heaven. If heaven ain't freedom, I don't know what freedom is. And that's what freedom in Christ is. So in a second, we're going to sing another song, and I really encourage you to respond however you want, whether you want to sit in your seat, whether you want to stand up, get on your knees, or you want to come up the front and sing. But I just really want to finish giving you an opportunity to respond. So if you want to bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't want to miss an opportunity to give a chance to anyone to respond, maybe for the first time, to this freedom that God offers. Maybe you felt like in your life that there's something missing. Maybe you felt like you're a slave to something. You've tried your own way. You've made mistakes. But tonight, you want the freedom that God offers, to acknowledge that you need God in your life and you actually choose to follow Him tonight. So if that is you for the very first time, I'd love you just to raise your hand right now, right where you are. And I'd love to pray. That's awesome. Fantastic. I'd love to pray for you. All right, let's pray. If you've prayed this prayer before, I really encourage you to say that in your head, or if you've done that for the first time tonight, pray with me in your head. Dear God, I acknowledge that I need you in my life. I choose to accept you as my Savior, the one who gives me true freedom. I acknowledge that there have been times I've done wrong things and gone against you. I accept your love, and with your help, I choose to trust you and follow you with my life tonight. So I just want you to keep your heads bowed right now, because I feel like there's also another group of people, maybe others of you in your life, others of you here tonight, you feel like you need freedom, you need breakthrough in an area of your life. Maybe you've been trying to seek God's approval and you just been stuffing up, messing up, and you feel not good enough. Maybe there's a relationship in your life that you're hurting, you need freedom from that. Maybe there's a health issue, or maybe there's something else that you need breakthrough and freedom. And I want to give you the opportunity in a second to surrender that to God tonight and to say, I give that to you. I'd really love to pray for you for breakthrough and freedom. So if that's you tonight, I'd love just you to raise your hand right now and I'd love to pray for you and to acknowledge it and to give that to God. So if that's you, just raise your hand. Fantastic. Dear God, we just thank you for who you are. And we just give these people, these situations to you. And we know in life that sometimes we face struggles, we face suffering. And thank you that you're a God that wants the best for us through that, that you work in every different situation. And I just pray right now for those situations. I pray for breakthrough. I pray for healing. I pray for freedom in Jesus' name. I thank you that you're a God of compassion, that you're a God of comfort, and you never leave us. God, we just surrender these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.